you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, welcome to the Modern Waiter Podcast. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter, where we discuss all things restaurant business. Learn something. Laugh at something. On today's episode, we are reviewing another restaurant movie, 1996's Big Night.
Movie night.
But first, the intro.
I'm tired of working deadbeat jobs for lame pay. I'm tired of getting fired and hired the same day. If you know the rules of the game, then you'll stay. And if you don't, then you'll be a pawn while they play. I'm tired of working deadbeat jobs for lame pay. I'm tired of getting fired.
As usual, I'm joined by my good friend Danny DeVilla.
What's up, people?
And today's movie, we're going to do a movie anyway.
Yeah.
But fortuitously, Brendan O'Brien, a listener on the gram,
gotcha,
wrote into me and suggested this movie. It wasn't even on my list.
Okay.
I thought I hit all the restaurant movies on my list, but not really. So
yeah.
Thank you, Brendan. It's really cool that people reach out and
give us new stuff,
ideas, feedback. It's really cool.
Yeah,
you know, growing community. And if we're doing a movie review, this is from 1996.
Yeah,
okay? It's old, but I've never seen it. Have you seen it before?
No.
Okay, so the obligatory spoiler alert: if you've never seen it, pause right now. May not be in our best interest, but, you know, go watch the movie.
Yeah.
I think it's on Amazon?
It's on Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus. Tell the people about Paramount Plus.
I don't know. I had to download it so I can use it.
Oh, you had a free trial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
7 days. It's not bad. It's $5.99 a month after. I really didn't delve into it yet because I just need to watch the movie. So I'll check it out today and see if it's worth keeping. If not,
yeah,
I'll get rid of it.
If you have a way of streaming movies.
Yeah.
I'm sure all
of you do by now. It's on Roku. It's on.
Yeah, man. You know, I'm sure a friend of mine, she turned me on to this library thing.
Mm.
You can rent movies through the library and hook me up that way.
That's pretty gangster.
You know, so.
Like stream them?
Yeah, man.
Like through the regular library? Like our library?
Well, the Broward County has.
Yeah, well, because our library has always had movies in the library itself, but I know they started streaming. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so, yeah, watch the movie.
Okay.
And if you have no intentions of watching the movie, listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
Press play.
Or if you've already watched it, press play.
Yeah, press play. And we're going to go through it. So I don't want to hear any belly aching that I ruined it for anybody. But it's a highly rated movie.
Yeah.
It got like a 7.4 on IMDb.
Okay.
And whenever I'm going through IMDb to look for a movie, because I don't really watch TV. I don't even have cable.
Mm-hmm.
But I have ways of streaming movies and things like that. And anything 5.5 and up.
Is usually okay?
I'll watch.
Okay.
Anything 6.5 and up, I'm paying attention.
Gotcha.
You know, 5.5 is kind of like my base. Because I like a lot of action and comedy, and they're not always highly rated,
no,
but I'll still enjoy them.
So, before we delve into it, what did you think about the movie? As a personal.
What did I think about the movie?
Yeah, let's not talk about them. I wonder what you thought about it first.
As in, like, a broad stroke, did I like it?
Did you like it? Didn't like it? What, all the above?
I liked it.
Okay.
I liked it. You?
I thought it was okay, yeah.
Okay. Well, you thought it was okay?
I thought it was okay. It wasn't my favorite restaurant movie, but it was, I'm going to touch on the points that I really like.
But it doesn't have to be your favorite.
Yes, you're right.
You know, we have tons of meals that aren't our favorite and enjoy them.
And there's lots of things I touched that I felt that, especially for a restaurant movie, mm-hmm. it did touch on little things, and we're going to talk about those in a minute.
Now, help me out. You're good with dates and stuff.
Okay.
Right?
When was this? What's the timeline of it?
No, when it was made in 1996.
Yes.
When was Waiting made?
Waiting is, I think, 2000.
2000?
99, 2000, because it's around that American
Pie. So not too far off.
Not too far off.
This felt super old school.
Well, because it was shot, it was meant to look old school.
Okay.
It was meant to be, you know, it looked like the 50s or the 60s.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. It was a period movie.
Yes, it was a period movie. Okay. It was meant to be back then, and it had more of a nostalgia. Like, it almost had like a Goodfellas kind of nostalgia, kind of with the way they shot it. You know what I mean? So, or like Bronx Tale, whatever you want to call it. Like,
okay.
But, yes, go ahead.
Well, let's get into it. I mean, big names in this.
Big names.
Big names.
Yeah.
Stanley Tucci.
Yeah, man.
You know? Minnie Driver
looked good too.
Oh, she looked great.
She looked great.
It's the best she ever looked.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of mean,
but phenomenal.
She looked great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who else is in there?
Your
boy Mark Anthony.
Mark Anthony, super young looking.
Not young looking. He was super young.
He was young. Okay.
I mean, he was throughout the whole movie probably said four words.
Yeah, but he was in everything.
He was in everything.
He opened the movie.
He opened the movie. The first person you see.
Yeah.
And not the last, but he was in throughout.
Throughout.
He's in it.
Yeah.
Young.
Yes.
And who else is in there?
There's a lot of people I know by face, but I don't know all their names, but I know them. Like, I could tell them.
Tony Shalhoub.
Yes. Who's in, he's in a lot of stuff.
He's in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But I know him from Monk.
Yes. Okay, yeah. TV Primo, show. My man, yeah. Primo.
and that's the thing. The movie just... Monk's name is, it's about two brothers.
Yes, Primo and Secondo, which is second.
Yeah.
So first and second.
First and second, right off bat, they let you know, you know, the birth order.
Exactly.
And they're Italian brothers,
mm-hmm.
and Primo is the chef. They both cook, but he's the chef.
Yeah.
He's the man with the talent.
He's the man with the talent.
And the man, he's almost like a savant almost, you know, but probably an overcharacterization, but you know, there's a reverence to his talent.
Absolutely.
And they're in a failing restaurant.
Yes.
Ain't nobody in there. But and the food's good.
The food sounds like it's amazing.
Which is kind of odd.
Well, no. You can't remember because, all right, so should I just jump right in? We're in the movie now, right?
We're in the movie, but as long as we're going in sequence.
So if we're in sequence... Yes, it's as in sequence. Yes, it's kind of odd because the food is amazing. But as you can tell in that earlier scene with when they have that first guest in there, he's kind of a little, you know, he's not willing to bend.
He's not willing to sacrifice his craft,
which is fine. But at the same time, you know, you got to have a little bit of leeway if you're going to make money.
Yes. I have an issue with that, though, because if the food's good, people will come.
They should.
Now, there's an added wrinkle in the first scene that's added to that phrase. If you understand the food,
mm-hmm.
they will come.
Yes.
And this couple were eating there and...
They didn't understand the food.
They didn't understand the food. Yes. And it was only risotto.
Yeah.
But he had to explain the risotto.
Exactly.
Stanley Tucci is the younger brother. Secondo, second guy.
Risotto's really big now, and I mean, I don't know how long it's been big, but you know, back then, I don't think they didn't even know what it was.
Well, if you're saying it's a period piece for the 50s or whatever the case may be, maybe not. And he's explaining what it is. I always felt if you have to explain not only don't get it, you're behind the eight ball.
Absolutely.
You know, it's kind of like when your kid doesn't want to eat something and you explain it, you just got to say, try it first.
Just try it first.
You know, just try it first. And they hit upon particularly what I thought was an overgeneralization mm-hmm. of what an Italian restaurant should be.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to know, where's the bowl of spaghetti? And he's like, well... This is a risotto. It's a starch, and why would you have starch and starch? And the second brother is basically the front man.
Yes.
And
Mr. Tucci.
That's Mr. Tucci. And Tony Shalhoub is the chef.
Yes.
He's Primo. He's the older brother. Mm-hmm. He's in the back.
Looks like Borat.
Very much so. He almost looks like Luigi, actually, right, with that big thick mustache, you know? And so the couple, the husband and wife, and the husband's just like, come on, just get a side of spaghetti and meatballs, you know, mm-hmm. if that's what you want. And, you know, Segundo's like, spaghetti doesn't come with meatballs.
I mean, you can
meatballs
add it.
Are separate. Yeah. And he's like, sometimes the spaghetti wants to be alone. You know, he's trying to smooth it over. And there you realize the tension where mm-hmm. they're serving things that may be Italian, but not understood by Americans.
Yes.
Okay. So we're getting into the movie mm-hmm. now that sets the scene. You know, there's Primo and Secondo. Mm-hmm. You see that
they
having the struggle of the failing restaurant.
Absolutely.
Now, so we're going to go into why they struggle a little bit. There's another guy in the restaurant. There's only three people, a single guy, and he couldn't even pay for his meal.
Yeah.
And the chef says, oh, what do I need with money? And he pays him with a painting.
Yeah.
In which he hangs up in the restaurant. Mm-hmm. Man, you run a business, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. This is not the barter system.
Exactly. I mean, but there's a sense of community. Absolutely. But you're not going to, the guy's there, you're not going to strong arm him, apparently.
Yeah.
But that was kind of odd to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, because good food's good food.
Good food's good, yeah.
So maybe they're doing something else wrong, but it's a movie.
Yes.
And you understand, you don't really see it yet because they talk about another restaurant, a competing restaurant.
Yeah.
And that's bumping.
Yeah. Killing it.
Killing it. Now, the guy, Ian Holm, mm-hmm. from he's in Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's the owner of that establishment.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yes. He's, what's his name in that movie? Pascal. Yeah, Pascal's the owner of that movie, and I mean, owner of that restaurant.
I completely forgot he was Bilbo Baggins.
Because young too.
Yeah.
He's old, but young.
He's a lot younger. And, you know, and when you said Ian Holmes, I kept thinking about Gandalf. I was like, why am I thinking Gandalf? I was like, Gandalf's not in the movie. And then he said, that is Bilbo.
Yeah, man. And this guy's he's a trip.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Now, Primo goes to see him. Am I skipping anything?
No. Well, you missed the bank scene, but that's not really relevant. But they actually show his girlfriend for the first time without you knowing it.
Oh, she was the... She's the teller in the bank.
Yes.
Wow. I missed that.
Yeah.
Good eye. So Primo has a girlfriend.
Secondo has a girlfriend.
I mean, sorry. Yes. Tucci has a girlfriend. I missed that connection there in the beginning. But it's a relatively new girlfriend.
No? I'm guessing
right. Because when they were in the car, she mentions, I know how money works because...
Yeah, I work in a bank.
I work in a bank. Now, that is it's Minnie Driver and Stanley Tucci mm-hmm. in the back of a car. And, you know, they're making out and stuff like that. And then you see a struggle within him to really move forward with her.
Yes.
And she proceeds to tell him it's not about money. Like, you don't know what you want? He's like, yes, I do. Kind of, yes. And then he admits that, you know,
he's frustrated because his business is failing, and like any man with money, without money, you kind of get, you know, the stress leads into your relationship.
Yes, that's a very good point. Now, and I think that's a point worth talking about.
Yeah,
those of you who are missing certain aspects of the male psyche. Whenever a man has unsettled business, particularly in life, mm-hmm. his professional career, if that is not settled, sometimes that bleeds into his other endeavors, be it a relationship, be it a family, father relationship. It stunts their growth almost, mm-hmm. you know, they can't think of anything else. And they suppose that they need to get this surmounted before they can move on.
Before they can do anything else.
Before they can do anything else. And that is setting the scene of why he is the way that he is towards her.
Absolutely.
He loves her, but he expresses, oh, I want to marry you, but not now, and things like that, you know? So just a little insight into into how men, you know, the inner workings of
how our mind goes.
Yeah, how our mind goes, you know? And so then he has the ambition to go see Pascal.
Yes.
You know? And Pascal's the owner of the...
And this restaurant's rotten. This is when they show you for the first time. They kind of, you walk in and it's packed.
Yeah, he goes into his spot.
Yeah, it's packed. Like, it's very well lit. You could tell, like, it's very well lit. There's people, there's greeters. It's a full, booming, running, functioning restaurant. And it's literally a block away from this quiet restaurant he's running right now.
Oh, yeah.
And it is fully all in. You know what I mean?
It's the difference between, like Disney World and your local, you know.
Yeah, it's night and day.
It's night and day.
It's night and day. It's really, it's crazy.
And he even cuts him deep.
Oh.
He makes fun of him. He goes, what are you doing here? You ran out of food?
Right.
You know, and so he says, hey, I need to talk to you.
Yeah.
Basically, the bank had turned him down for a loan in the beginning of the movie. And
they want their money.
Want their money.
They want their money.
Yeah.
He's like, I need more time. Or he's trying to borrow more so he can keep it moving. And
yes.
They're like, no, we need you to pay me now.
Yeah. Is there anyone else you can ask for money?
Do you have collateral? Do you have anything?
Yeah. Okay. sell your car. Guy's like, yeah. I need my car. So that puts the heat now.
Yeah.
Now, I've never been a restaurant owner. So can you imagine, you know, you're seeing the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
And you know you could fix it. But it's not entirely up to you. You have to deal with a chef.
Mm-hmm.
You have to deal with, you know, are people going to come? Are people going to, you know, what can we do?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you want to make it all work. So he goes to him for help.
Advice and help at the same time, yes.
Mostly for money.
For money, yeah.
Yeah. And he turns him down.
Yeah.
He's like, what you're asking, I can't give you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because... there's some interesting framing when they're in the office.
Yeah, it sets the tone almost for, I think, the broad basis of what the movie is expected to understand. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Talk to me.
So when they're in the office and he's talking to him and he's showing him, he says the story about, it was a famous person. I'm losing it. Not the Louis Prima guy, but the other guy. The guy, he mentioned somebody and they was like, I sent this bottle to their hotel with my card on it. And it was a famous person that we all know too. And I can't remember.
Forgot. But
And he explained and said, hey, you know, nothing happened. 6 months later, the guy shows up. You know what I mean? He's saying, I think what he was trying to teach Tucci in this scene is, you got to take the initiative and get out there and put yourself out there. He says, it's going to take time, but you have to put yourself out there to where if you want to see a return, you got to do little things that the average person is not willing to do.
He had some words of wisdom.
Absolutely.
He had that. He said, you can't plant a fig tree and expect figs the same year.
Yeah.
You know? And he also, one of my favorite lines from the movie, he says, you have to bite your teeth into the ass of life.
Yes. I love that right there.
Nuts.
Then he almost went and bit him on the butt.
Yeah, he almost bit him on the butt too, you know? Dude's nuts. But you could tell he has a joie de vivre, you know?
Yes.
And
he has the essence of him.
He has a good essence of him. And he says, you have to give people what they want now, and then later you can, you know, you can give them what you want.
Exactly.
Give them what they want.
And then you can give them what you want.
Yes. You know, which I thought was really good advice.
Yes, it is.
However, something that stuck out to me was when he's at his desk and there's a lamp in front of him, and there's blocking or framing, you know, that I thought was very telling. And we'll talk about this a little bit later in the episode, because my thoughts on the framing really played out.
Gotcha.
Okay. So moving on to, I mean, he, in this one scene, he says all these he says secrets make stronger friendships, because he didn't want his brother to know.
Yeah.
Right? He didn't want Primo to know.
Mm-hmm.
that he came to him because Primo doesn't like him.
Yes.
He thinks he's not just a scoundrel, but what did he call him? He said rape happens at his restaurant. Basically, he's raping the people.
Yeah.
And, you know, well, I don't understand what that means, but he has no regard for this guy.
Yeah.
So he says, hey.
Doesn't like the food, all the above.
Correct. He's like, I don't want my brother to know that I came to you for help. He's like, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Secrets make strong friendships, which is odd.
Yeah.
Do you have secrets for me?
No.
Okay. Just checking.
Not that I know of.
Not that I know of. That leaves the door open for, you know, ambiguity. Plausible deniability. This guy. So he convinces his brother to cook for this Louis Prima guy.
Yes.
The, you know, his version of the
Italian singer, I'm guessing, or somebody that's pretty famous. It didn't really jump into it, but that's how it kind of made it feel like. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Louis Prima is going to come by. And it was set up by Pascal.
Yes.
Pascal, the restaurant owner, he says, hey, I wanna help you out. This is where I can help you out. He's a friend of mine. I'll tell him to come by with his band.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows, you know, word would spread.
Word would
be all right, you know. So he convinces his brother, hey, Louis Prima is going to come. But he doesn't tell him how he got set up.
Yeah. We're having a party. This guy's coming. It's going to help business XYZ.
Yeah. So now it's kind of reminiscent of Chef, the movie Chef.
Yes.
With John Favreau.
Yes.
Okay. And now he's cooking his ass off.
Yeah.
Okay. And the difference between Chef, the movie, and this big night is you could tell that the actors in Chef actually took some
classes,
lessons from a chef because the knife work was good, the movement and all that stuff. When they're prepping in this movie, Big Night, there were cutaways.
Yeah.
So you know the actors aren't doing it. It's
exactly.
It's, you know, it's the person that knows the skills.
Yeah.
Because later on, when he was sauteing vegetables, he was kind of flipping kind of weak. And, you know, it wasn't really good chef skills. Not
exactly.
That I know, but it wasn't really believable.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if that's a 1996 type of thing, but maybe the director didn't go that authentic route.
Probably at that, I'm not going to say at that time, but, you know, maybe for that period where there's not as many foodies and I think they were trying to get the story across.
Yeah.
More than the aesthetics of the story.
And that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very much a family movie.
Definitely.
As much as it a restaurant movie.
Absolutely.
You know, the restaurant is just a backdrop. This could have been a play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe it was. I don't know. Because it feels very static in the location of the restaurant.
Yeah.
Almost. And so now comes the big night, because I think that was like the very next night or something like
no,
that.
No, it's supposed to be a week later.
A week later.
Because when they're in the office, he says, I can have him come. Let's do like next Wednesday or something like that.
Okay.
So it wasn't like a week. You know, he said, so it was definitely like a weekday and it was definitely time in between.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And so they're prepping.
They're prepping. They're getting the food in. They're getting, you know, they got the what's the guy? Because back then, you know, everybody had a guy for everything. There wasn't just a grocery store like
that. Oh, the produce guy.
The produce guy. The
liquor guy.
The liquor guy.
Talk about the liquor guy. He invites Minnie Driver to help out in the restaurant. She's going to be kind of just hosting and, you know, things like that. Because it's not necessarily that they're open, but they're just throwing this party.
Yeah.
For reporters, for Louis Prima and his band, and the whatnots.
Yes.
Okay. And so they're at the restaurant, and Tucci, Segundo.
Yep. Gets a phone call.
He gets a phone call, and he says, oh, man, I got to see this man about the booze.
Yeah.
Okay, so he goes off, and the man's a woman.
Well, it cuts to the scene, and it's actually Pascal's girlfriend.
Yes.
Okay.
The plot thickens.
Yes.
Yeah. So he goes sees Pascal's girlfriend, who he's apparently
sleeping with.
Yes.
And he's not sleeping with his girlfriend.
No. He's saving it. The guy's saving himself for you. He's banging somebody else.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So pick your poison. Now, the night comes.
Mm-hmm.
He sleeps with the girlfriend, Pascal's girlfriend. He ends up getting the booze, and he takes the long way home, basically.
Yeah.
He ends up talking to this, checking out this nice car. Mm-hmm. Belongs to a car salesman.
Invites a car salesman.
Invites a car salesman after they go for a ride. Mm-hmm. He's been gone for hours.
Yeah.
After he said he was going to be gone for a minute. An hour.
Yeah.
He's been gone for a while. And so he gets back. The night starts to begin. All right. Pascal shows up mm-hmm. because he's invited. Tony Shalhoub is not happy that he's invited, but, he plays along and things yeah. like that. Then Pascal lets it slip that
he bought, that this is his primo thing.
Yeah, primo is his friend, and he set it up. And number one, Tony Shalhoub gets upset.
Yeah.
He gets upset because he wasn't told, and he doesn't want this guy's help. He doesn't need it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he needs it, but he doesn't want it.
Yeah.
He doesn't trust the guy.
Exactly.
So he blows up. All right. He figures it out. Then Tucci is under some pressure. He yells at his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see both brothers handling pressure in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because it means a lot. This is like the night.
This is it. This is the make or break.
Yeah. This is the last he
Yeah, there was, when he pulled the money out of his account to go to fund the night, there was $67 left in his account.
Yeah.
Okay, that lets you know exactly where they're at.
That's enough to just keep the account open.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And so he tells his brother, hey, we have no money. This is it. You got to do this.
Yeah.
No haggling with this guy. No talking to that. It's.
Yeah. It's the make or break night.
It's a make or break night. And the tension builds. There's some relationships that are happening here. They wanted some flowers to decorate. Mm-hmm. There's a flower shop woman who the chef brother, Tony Shalhoub,
likes, but he doesn't know how to...
Yeah, he's shy.
...express himself, exactly.
She gets invited by...
she comes to drop off the flowers, and then
Segundo
doesn't realize that he thinks she's invited already. He's like, you're coming tonight. And she goes, huh? What are you talking about? And he goes, he didn't invite you? Kind of thing, and makes her come and all that kind of stuff.
And these are terrible names, Primo and Segundo.
Yeah.
But I get it, okay? Now, he has a recipe for timpano, which he brought back from the old country,
from
Italy. And he's explaining to Minnie Driver the origins of why they call it timpano mm-hmm. and things like that. Timpano, I believe, is a drum. It's a big, they line the pot with the pasta,
yeah.
and that's going to become the dome of the crust, I guess, of this thing. And it looks amazing.
It does.
Like
they're making the pasta from scratch.
They made a pig.
Yeah.
They have all these courses. And throughout the whole thing, you notice the party's going. They're waiting for this the musician to come with his friends. And meanwhile, people are getting loose. They're getting drunk. They're having a good time. They're dancing and singing and moving about.
Yeah.
They decide to eat.
Exactly.
Because it's getting late.
Mm-hmm.
They made two of the timpanos, which is the centerpiece.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And then Segundo says, hey, save this one for
Louis Prima.
Louis Prima. Yeah. Right? And he says, okay. So they cut the other one. It's amazing. And Pascal is jealous, of his talents.
Yeah.
He bursts out, says, I should kill you, because this is so good.
Yeah.
And you see that now Gabriella, his girlfriend, is kind of staring at my man Tucci.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of see that there's a dynamic there where Pascal
is noticing it.
Is starting to notice it, mm-hmm. Now, the wheel's starting to fall off now. It's 3 a.m. The reporter leaves because there's no Louis Prima. But everybody had a good time. Everybody had a great time.
The night was a hit.
The night was a hit, except for the musician not showing up. Gabriella, Pascal's girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
consoles Segundo.
Yeah, he's in the bathroom.
He's distraught.
Yeah.
Guy's not coming. And she kind of like...
She checks on him.
She checks on him.
Starts to kiss him.
And the girlfriend walks in.
And yes.
She storms off.
Exactly like how you think it would go in any movie ever.
Yes.
As soon as you get a kiss from somebody random, it's... You're caught.
You're caught. But it wasn't somebody random.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah. He got caught.
He got caught.
You know? And so he runs after her. The whole thing unravels. And then Gabriella, the girlfriend, catches a sense of, would you say regret or responsibility or remorse?
All the above.
All of, nice. All of the above. And tells the chef.
Yeah.
Tony Shalhoub, you know, hey, something's
up. He was never going to come.
He was never going to come.
He goes, tell him the truth.
Yeah.
You know, like at this point.
Hey, Pascal, tell him the truth. Tell him your plan. What, yeah. You know, and he kind of like looks at her kind of glaringly a little bit. And
like, are you about to leak this?
And then he's like, you know, Tony's confused.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what? What's going on? It's like, he was never going to come. He did not even tell him.
He didn't even tell him.
Yeah. Didn't even tell
him. Crushed.
Yeah. And so now you get the sense of something afoot.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a betrayal.
Yeah.
Going back to what I noticed in the scene with Secondo and Pascal in the office, I noticed that when the camera was blocking back and forth, not the camera, but the way that the director cut it, you know, going back and forth, there was a lamp in front of Pascal from Secondo's point of view. And the lamp was directly above, like directly in front of his mouth, where you can only see his eyes. And what he's saying, you can't see his mouth, but you just hear him. And that to me signaled, you know, the director telling you that this guy is lying.
Yeah.
He can't be trusted. You know, you just see his eyes, but you don't see his mouth and things like that. And I was like, oh, wow. I wonder if that's on purpose or not. Yeah. I didn't know, but I kept it in my mind. And sure enough, he was lying about inviting this singer and his friends and for influence. He just wanted to ruin the restaurant.
Exactly.
So that he can absorb
all the whatever business that they're not getting.
Yeah. Well, not the business. He wanted to absorb the talent.
Yes.
He wanted him and his brother to work for them.
Exactly.
Yeah. He wanted both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is the reveal in the movie of what this guy did to these people. And he ruined them. And he asked, Secondo asked him, hey, is this because of a woman? He's like, please, I'm a businessman. You know, some form of, it's not personal, it's business type of thing.
Exactly.
And
he goes, I play, you know, says, I'm a businessman. I play whatever part I need to play to make it work.
Yes. And he digs him with, what are you?
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Because he kind of sold out a little bit because he knew that he did what he needed to do, but it was against his brother's wishes.
Yeah.
You know, he went behind his brother's back, kind of lied to him, or at least withheld the truth. And now he has this relationship with Minnie Driver that has gone asunder now because he got caught.
He got caught.
You know, he runs after her. He goes to the beach and she says, no.
Yeah.
Enough. First, I thought she was going to kill herself.
I thought so, too. At the beginning, when she's in the water, I'm like...
She ran to the beach and like was in the water, dunking herself and stuff, but...
I think she was just cooling herself down.
Metaphorically, she was cooling herself down and washing herself
of
him.
Of him.
Yeah. And she came out, she was like playful, and she was like, no, don't even tell me that, you know, she was consoling you and all that stuff.
Don't give me the BS.
Not now.
Yeah.
And she runs off... My man.
Mark Anthony. Mark Anthony. Jacket.
Yeah. Does a shiverless.
Hug. Yeah.
Yeah. Gives her the jacket off of his back.
Yes.
And hit her with the chivalry.
Yeah.
And lets her move on. I'd have went with her. You know, yeah. Make sure she gets home. And then somehow the rest of the party shows up at the beach and the brothers start to fight.
Yeah.
Which is one of the most
patty cake fights I've ever seen in my life.
They didn't even fight.
They didn't even fight.
They were pushing each other.
They're pushing.
Like anything that looked like you think was about to be a fight, it just was like, okay, what just happened?
Yeah, it was weak, but it was a friendly, brotherly fight.
Yeah.
You know, and they aired their grievances. And it really, the movie to me, in summary, it tells me that restaurants are relationships.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not necessarily family, but it's definitely relationships. It's about people,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's about people and their relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So if those things are healthy, the restaurant's going to be healthy.
Absolutely.
You saw that in Chef.
Mm-hmm.
You even saw that in Ratatouille because, yeah. you know, he had a relate. The rat had a relationship with his father.
Exactly.
What's his name? Linguini mm-hmm. had a relationship with
the girl
and himself.
Yes.
And the rat
mm-hmm.
in a sense. And until those things all came together, nothing was really.
Exactly. Until it all, he had to figure out for himself what was going on with himself. And then he was able to
yeah. grow. Until you do right by me.
That's right.
and now all the secrets are out.
Yep.
And Segunda returns, and dude had the unmitigated gall to be in the restaurant, you know, playing on the piano.
Yeah.
You know? And that's when he reveals himself and says, "Hey, I wanted you to come, you know, you and your brother." And he says, "No, mm-hmm. no, my brother's above you."
Yeah.
You know? And he goes into the kitchen. Well, it cuts away.
No, it cuts away. So it's the next morning.
Yeah, next morning.
You see Mark, you walk, you cut, cuts to the kitchen. Mark Anthony's asleep on the table.
On the table, bro.
Like the cutting table.
With a kitchen rag as a pillow.
Yep.
Looked like he'd done that before. I can't sleep on my side.
Oh, and it was a hard, like.
Oh, no, it's a cutting board, basically.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's hard
wood, okay.
You know? And it was a beautiful kitchen, by the way.
It was.
Beautiful kitchen.
It was.
Looked like 8 burners.
Yeah, man.
On that stove. So he comes in, Segunda comes in, and he starts cooking. Because he in himself, in his own right, he can cook.
Yeah. Starts making some breakfast.
Start making some eggs.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite part, no words are spoken.
None. They cook the eggs. Everybody just, you know.
The last 10 minutes, yeah. no dialogue.
None.
It was beautiful.
It was.
They spoke just this, you know, kitchen speak.
Yeah. Fades to black, and that was it.
Well, Primo comes back.
Yeah, he comes in the restaurant.
Yeah.
I thought that's what you meant.
No. Okay, like, so we didn't get to that part yet.
Go ahead.
You know, at the time, it's just Segundo and Mark Anthony.
So he starts making the eggs.
He starts making the eggs for Mark Anthony.
Yes.
But I noticed when he divvied up the eggs.
There was still a piece left.
There was still some left.
Yes.
You know, he served for two.
Mm-hmm.
And then when his brother comes in, still no words are spoken. He just gets up.
Makes him a plate.
Makes him a plate. Puts the plate next to him and sits down and keeps eating. My man just takes his place next to him.
I'm going to choose not to speak with you.
I'm going to shut down my engines.
I'm going to get back to neutral.
Recharge my batteries. I'm not going to eat with you.
I felt like they needed that.
Yeah, I mean, they at the beach, they kind of got it all out.
Yeah.
You know, you don't, and it's really tough to understand what someone else is going through when you're not in their universe. You're not mm-hmm. in their skin. You know, he doesn't know what it's like to suffer for, you know, to see the vision for his food, and the chef doesn't know what it's like to really make the business work.
Yeah, and oh, we forgot about the speaking of secrets on the beach. Primo revealed a secret about the uncle, him calling the uncle, and the uncle has a restaurant in Rome, and he was going to go back.
Yeah, he wanted both of them to go back to Rome to work for his uncle.
Yeah,
and then that was kind of rough because, you know, breaking up the brothers weren't going to break up.
Yeah,
you know, he's like, he goes, yeah, you go.
He goes, because I'm not leaving.
I'm not leaving. I thought he was going to hit him with a hot dog line from early in the movie when he says, maybe we shouldn't serve risotto, you know, because they don't understand it. And then he goes, yeah, that's a good idea. We'll we'll serve, you know, what they call it, those, you know, hot dogs. We'll serve hot dogs. Cut him, man. He's so funny. That was the best line. I thought he was going to hit him like, yeah, I'm going to stay here and serve hot dogs.
Yeah.
But, you know, that line didn't pay off. Now, restaurant movie.
Mm-hmm.
Let's rate it as a movie and rate it as a restaurant movie. And obviously, at the beginning, we described that, you know, on IMDb, it got a 7.5. Mm-hmm. What do you think of it as a regular movie?
A movie, yeah. I'll give it a 7.5, almost an 8.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
As a restaurant movie, I would give it like a 6.
Okay.
Because it does touch on the struggles
mm-hmm.
of owning your own restaurant, which mm-hmm. we've always talked about and we've had done shows about and stuff like that. And I think that's why I gave it a 6. But it's very much a family movie, like you said in the beginning. It is. It's the story of two brothers. You know, it's a coming of age. You know, they came to America to better themselves, and it wouldn't have mattered what the business was. You could still have told the story.
True.
So that's why I don't take it as much as a restaurant movie. You know what I mean? Because that relationship in any given, it could have been a store. It could have been anything. You know what I mean? It didn't matter as long as you had this, you know what I mean, a competition or a better, you know, a more thriving, same exact kind of store next to you.
It wouldn't matter.
You know what I mean?
I understand. And I agree with you.
Yeah.
It was not, to me, much of a restaurant movie because you didn't get a staff.
Yeah.
There was like one guy.
Yeah.
One guy.
It was one guy.
One guy. Mark Anthony held it down. Okay, that's impractical.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was a good sized restaurant.
Yeah,
you know, I thought, but
I mean, it wasn't as deep as the other spot. Pascal Side was way bigger.
No, it didn't even compare.
Yeah,
but it doesn't need to.
Exactly.
You know, there's some places that only have one or two waiters.
Yeah.
You know, because
they could have easily ran with you maybe like a 4-person staff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, like a host.
But they didn't. I see that they didn't have
they didn't have the money to make it work anyways.
Well, you didn't have the guests.
Yeah.
You know. Now, I say that because I didn't get a restaurant feel. It was like a kitchen feel.
Yes, definitely
a kitchen. You know, definitely a kitchen feel. But was Minnie Driver a host? Unclear.
No, yeah. She was just like there.
Yeah. It didn't really focus that much on the style of cooking and things like that. I didn't get the sense mm-hmm. that they were really chefs. They were, you know, it was a family. It was a family movie. So as a movie, I give it a 7.
Okay.
I wouldn't really go any higher than that because I thought the payoff would have been more of a restaurant payoff. Mm-hmm. Although, you know,
it wasn't.
And I like the end.
Yes.
You know, sometimes, you know, the happy ever after and the, you know what you...
No, that was reality right there, setting in.
Yeah, it's set in. Like, mm-hmm. They're probably going to have to close that spot. And no doubt they'll probably learn from their experiences and open something else, you know, because you're going to grow. And mm-hmm. that's, you know, your first fig tree.
You got to fail to grow.
Yeah. You know, you don't have to, but sometimes you have to. Now, as a restaurant movie... I give it a 7 as well.
Okay.
You know, and that's generous. I'm feeling kind today.
You're feeling kind?
But I overall, good movie, good relationship.
Yes.
The acting was great. Superb.
Yeah.
You know, the acting was superb. It's just a little, you know, confusing as to the revelation of the chef's motives,
mm-hmm.
you know. Does he want to make money or, you know?
Because he kept, remember, throughout the movie, he was like, the food is good. That's all that matters. The food is good. That's all that matters.
And that was my doubt. You know what I mean? How good is it? Is it good?
You know what I mean? And you can, like, I think it proved one of those ever telling, you could have the best product, but if you don't brand yourself and put yourself out there, nobody knows about it.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the difference in the end.
I still have a hard time with it. I still have because the universal speak is good food.
True. But how many little places that you know, like you said, it's only been over a year. If you ain't got the capital to survive, nobody knows you're there until you go do something. You still have to put yourself out there. You gotta, if you're not getting any kind of press so people know that your food is good, then nobody's going to show up.
You're not wrong. You are not wrong.
Now, if you got deep pockets and you can wait a couple years, then you can kind of let the word of mouth get around, but you still have seats. You gotta have butts in the seats so people can talk about your food.
Yeah. Well, I've never owned a restaurant, and I don't think I want that stress either.
Yeah, they look stressed.
They look stressed. Definitely hope you you check this movie out. It's well worth.
It's definitely worth the definitely worth the view.
Well worth it. And thank you, Brendan, for reaching out to us on the IG and suggesting this movie. And I like surprises like that. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that there was something that I missed on this list, but I did. It was cool.
Yeah.
And thank you again. If you want to reach out to me on Instagram, I'm at The Modern Way to Podcast. And what?
Huh?
Huh?
What?
Yeah. At The Modern Way to Podcast. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if you want to email me, I'm themodernwaiter@gmail.com. I'm very accessible. I get back to my people.
Okay.
We are proud to be a part of the One Star Podcast Network.
One Star.
Your one-stop shop for all your restaurant-centric podcasts. We are featuring Copper and Heat, This Side Work Podcast,
What Up?
In Your Mouth Podcast, The Macaroni Zone, and Confessions of a Server. Check them out. Tell me how you like them.
Every day of the week.
Every day of the week.
Every day of the week.
Every day of the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, there is a podcast.
From the One Star.
From the One Star Podcast Network. Check us out. All right. Now, if you want to support the show, tell a friend. Tell a friend that you listened to The Modern Waiter Podcast, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm Marlon Joseph, The Modern Waiter.
I'm Danny Villa. Subscribe, people.
We'll see you next week.
Later.
Yo, my life is like a movie, but it wasn't recorded. So sinking off the hook, guns and diamonds imported. I got bad bitches drinking on fine wine. Every place that you see me in is where the...